right, slowly winding down 1 Corinthians. I should be able to finish by the end of the year.
Goal is to
start 2 Corinthians on the first week. So, and I think Pastor has the books available.
Yes, they're still in that box.
Okay. So, yeah, because we're going to kind of finish what we started last week and talk about opportunities. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 16, and I want to read verses 5 through 9, and we should be able to get to there by today. It says, "Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is open to me, and there are many adversaries." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again. Thank you for the examples that we've seen. We know we've discussed many things throughout this book. And Father, I know that even though they occurred centuries ago, they're still prevalent today. And I thank you, Father, that you give us opportunities to give and to glorify you through that giving and to see your gospel go forth. And Father, we thank you for the opportunities that each one of us has to share the gospel and to encourage others in the gospel. And Father, that we are even thankful for those that have helped, as the Apostle Paul talk about here in the latter verses of this chapter. And we do pray, Father, that your word will go forth from here, that it's your words and not ours, that as we glorify you in all that we do, we want to realize that you gave us these verses, these examples, that we would live a victorious life while on this earth, preparing ourselves for when we're to be in eternity with you. And Father, we thank you for all of this, and we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we left off talking about giving, and the Apostle Paul was a free will offering, and we talked about regular giving, as it says, and it's given personally, and that when we give it with a heart of understanding that we're actually kind of giving a sacrifice back to God, because you know, we talk about faith promise, and it's, yeah, everybody can write a certain size check or give a certain amount every week and know that it's not going to hurt them. But oftentimes God asks us to give beyond our means, and then he fulfills it, because that's what's happening here with a lot of these people. Most of these people, there were a few in there that had no problem giving and just knew that, okay, God's given me means, I'm going to give. But there are others that were poor, and they gave out of absolute sacrifice, like the widow we talked about last week. You know, she gave her two mites, and Christ pointed out that what she gave was more than all these others that he'd given, because she gave of everything that she had. Some in tradition say that she was going to go home, and that she wasn't even going to have anything to buy food with, possibly. But God honors that, and he gives us that, and that little poll that I gave you last week, I want to tease it a little bit, but I did run across a little cute thing about when opportunities, and of course we've got some engineers here, mechanics, and it says here, an engineer, a priest, and a doctor were trying to enjoy a round of golf. Ahead of them is a group playing so slowly and inexperiencedly that in frustration, the three asked the greenskeeper for an explanation. He said, "That's a group of blind firefighters," they were told. "They lost their sight saving our clubhouse last year, so we let them play for free." So the priest says, "Well, I'll say a prayer for them tonight." The doctor says, Well, let me ask my ophthalmologist colleagues if there's anything that, can be done for him. And the engineer says, why can't they play at night? Okay. You know, leave it to those engineers to come up with those obvious answers, obvious things. But yeah, last week, how many of you did the statements or the read through them? So, and it's kind of interesting when you look at them, and they're ones that we've always seen, and this kind of fell under the category of giving proportionally. And so, just for curiosity's sake, on the first one, it says tithing is simply a legalistic practice. How many disagree with that? Okay. How many agree with it? Okay, nobody. No legalistic people. So, you know, I mean, why would somebody even think that it's legalistic? Anybody want to venture maybe a reason why somebody might think it's legalistic? Pastor?
There are mistaken notions that it was given just on.
Right, that under the law of Moses, a lot of them would give, and so it's just there, and we give, you know, even though it's a free will offering. When you think about it, it's sacrificial. If you look at it from that standpoint, it's also a thanksgiving when we give back, you know, that tithe. Now, you know, we always say tithes and offerings, and you know, it's not that overly obligatory. I mean, a person can give what they can give. Maybe they made a bunch, but, well, like the next one. In deciding a major purchase, a Christian could take into consideration his ability to give at least a tithe of his income to the Lord's work. How many agree with that one? Okay, yeah. How many disagree with that one? Oh, all right, nobody disagrees. So when you think about that, deciding a major purchase, I'm going to buy this, something whatever, you know, and it's going to take a good portion of my salary. And, my tithe is going to take a hit for that one, you know. Is that a consideration that any of us really should take in? No. What do we do? We give to God first. You know, in reality, I mean, if we really think about that, a lot of us pay our bills and then, I know, I've got this amount set aside that I'm going to give, and give regularly. Now, some of us are on a set income, so we know what we're going to give, but oftentimes the Lord prospers, like it says here. You know, third one, giving as the Lord prospers means to base your offering on what you have left over after paying bills. How many agree with that one? No. How many disagree? Okay, everybody. So, you know, really, but there are a lot of people that think that way. They reach in their pocket and goes, oh, I got a bunch of change. Okay, I'll just put that in there. Some know, okay, I give a certain amount every week because their salary, offering, income, whatever goes that way. You know, some of us are contractors and, you know, the Lord blesses. We give as the Lord blesses. There's other times when we say, and then we feel bad, but, you know, we give to the Lord what he allows us to give. Some weeks might be good, some weeks might not be so good. But, you know, and from the guy that looks at the finances, and we'll talk about it in January, but I am so thankful for the giving of this church. Amen. The Lord has blessed so much this year, and I'm kind of excited because I think I shared a couple things with Pastor and Brian, but some things we want to bring forward with. We have an abundance this year. All our bills have been paid, and we'll go into the new year with a bit more. So maybe that building's closer than we think. But it's because God's people said, I've been given this, I'm going to share this. And that's the blessing of giving. So the fourth one, if a Christian cannot give cheerfully, he should not give at all. What do you think? I'm going to give because I'm forced to give, and I know that I'm supposed to give, you know, with gritted teeth. What's it say in 2 Corinthians 9:7? About a cheerful giver? And I think...
What's broke, they'll fix what's not broke.
Exactly. You know, and... I'm going to give. You know, I don't care how bad I feel. I'm going to give. Well, you know, okay, let them give. Let them complain about it later, but that, you know, God and them will take care of it. But, you know, it says a cheerful giver, and on the Schofield in the margin says hilarious. You know, I don't hear any laughing when we give the offering. But no, that's, you know, when we're giving, we're happy in our heart to give that. And I know the folks that are here give from that kind of a heart, a happy heart, and knowing that it's doing the Lord's work, and that's what they really see. And what was the, wasn't there an Old Testament when it talked about a free will offering? If you couldn't give it with the right attitude, don't even bother to come there. If you know, like if you have aught with your brother, on and on. I couldn't remember. I was trying to find it, and I couldn't. But you know, really, when you give an offering, you should be happy to give it. It's you know, yeah. He paid a debt that we owed that we couldn't pay. Lynn?
I think that you should give anyhow, because I think that new Christians may not have that feeling of joy at first.
Right.
But I think your heart will follow your actions.
Exactly. Yeah, new Christians, and that, you know, in other words, be an example. When you give regularly. And we do. I mean, I've never seen an empty offering plate go by here, which is good. Pastor?
Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Yes.
All of his treasure money.
All of his treasure, yes. Exactly. You know, and that's the thing, is treasures. What, you know, it's not always money. Maybe it's our time. Maybe it's our talents. You know, it's just, maybe it's some you know, the prayer time that we have somebody. Because as the Apostle Paul is trying to point out to them, it's not what you're doing here on this earth. It's what you're setting up in eternity. Amen. That's what he was looking for, and that's what he was trying to get them to think about. But most of these people were all, as he told them, you're carnal. You're thinking about this earth. You're thinking about here. How do I look good in front of everybody else? You know, it's like we're in the 1980s, really funny looking ties, you know. I don't care what everybody else says. It's the only kind of ties I've got. Or others go, I'm never wearing a tie, ever. But, you know, that's their choice. And I've got some real ugly 1980s ties. Maybe I'll bring them back out. Well, my wife's shaking her head. I won't do that. Yeah, that's what we ought to do. We should find the ugliest ties and just bring them out. What do you think? After the first of the year, we'll do... Anyway. But, you know, giving. And then the last one here, it says, a Christian's motive is wrong if he gives to the Lord in order to get a higher return on his money. Anybody agree with that?
Yeah,
he's wrong. You know, but there are folks out there that teach that, you know, in fact, some people jump right on it. And, yeah, chapter 9, 2 Corinthians 9, 6, it says, but this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Pastor, how come we're not preaching that? Why don't we get in, you know, Sylvia. Yeah, there are so many of them out there going, you know, give me all that money, and I'll prosper. Oh, no, you'll prosper.
Yes.
You know, they're teaching that, and there's some people that live by that philosophy. Now, God does take care of people, and I know there are some big businessmen that, I think it was J.C. Penney or Coleman or one of those, you know, in the early 1900s, they says, we will live on the 10% of what our income is, and we will give away the 90%. And God prospered them because they kept that idea. I'm going to live on what I can live on. I mean, and there, in fact, I think most of us here, God gives abundantly. And I don't think too many of us live beyond our means. I don't see any Rolls Royces out there in there, and you know, I don't see a bunch of diamonds on people's fingers, and you know, real fancy, expensive suits out there, and then the tinkling going into the offering plate. No, most of the people here live well within their means. I mean, I don't know what people's incomes are. I know what mine is, and you know, we know that we live how we live, but none of us are extravagant. And try to show off our giving. And And that's what was happening with the Apostle Paul. There were some that were, you know, giving and enjoying the fact that they can give. Well, the Lord bless them. There's others out there that grumbled when they gave. So really, there are blessings in giving. And, you know, giving really is a matter between the Lord and the individual. And we should never look on somebody, you know, like in the book of James talks about, you know, get that real, that guy coming in with a really nice suit and getting him the nice plush chair up front and, you know, get somebody to put something under their feet and take care of them and tell the guy that's, you know, in the not so good clothing, you know, you sit in the back, get out of my way type thing. No, it's that's not what we should be about. Everybody is equal in God's eyes. Now, we might look at somebody and go, wow, you know, that's nice, and pray that they give a nice offering. But then again, it depends on what the Lord works on that person's heart, on the individual. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to say there. Well, with the giving, when he talks about them up here, you know, give proportionally, and then to give responsibly is really let you and the Lord work it out, what you are going to give. Some people give out of emotion and then end up grumbling later on. And that's not right. You know, I think give, then you're hilarious. Others give and say, hey, you hear what I gave? You know, let's not brag about it. You know, the bragging will come, not really the bragging, the recognition will come in eternity. Because God's going to say, I don't know if he's going to say that or not, but I'm sure that when we're going to stand before the judgment seat, he goes, you know, when you gave that really big check and you started bragging about it, you're not going to get credit for that one. You know, it's because he keeps accurate records. I ain't no doubt that he keeps accurate records, and I'm afraid of what my record's going to look like. And I'm sure most of us will. You know, there's always been jokes about, you know, God's got a sin clock on everybody up there, and some of them he uses for fans. You know? But, you know, I mean, jokes like that. But really, God does keep record, because everything that we say will hold account for in one way or another. So when we think on that when we give responsibly, he's trying to show us that, like it says, and if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. And before, he was talking about letters from those people. Responsible people will take that collection that the Apostle Paul's talking about. They said, hey, if it's okay, I will go with them, because I'm sure there was lots of money going there, and a lot of people were, you know, looking and going, oh, all that money, I could be using that, you know, some thieves and stuff. So they probably went with a nice protection group. But people, when they left with a letter of credibility, so that when it gave there, well, we took this X amount here and we're giving X amount, and the last letter probably said, this is what we're giving and this is who's bringing it. So that if there's a shortcoming, that there can be an accountability for that. The person's accountable for those funds. And, you know, when we think about that, that we're accountable for what God has given us and how we give that to him. That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to talk about when giving responsibly. And, you know, and there's, you know, normal rules of money handling, and try to keep it with those that you know are of good report. Okay, do I have a good report, Pastor? Okay. Yeah, and those counting the money, you know, we trust them. And there's accountabilities. And, you know, as time goes by, we may have to sit down and write down some things on how we do business so that somebody coming in from the outside could audit us. You know, I haven't heard of an IRS audit coming up yet or anything. But, you know, we want it to be above board. That's why the records, if anybody ever wanted, all the records are there. A lot of handwritten records, but there's also a lot of computer records. And if somebody ever wanted to, here we go. If they find a mistake, well, we'll see where it's at. But I do know that what we take in goes to the bank. What we take in goes to our missionaries, salaries, building, things like that. And it's all there. What comes in and where it goes. And those are usually in the back if anybody ever wanted to look at them. Or if there's not one back there current, ask me. I'll make sure we got one. I usually carry a flash drive so I can show it to you on the computer if you want. But that's what the Apostle Paul's trying to set up. You giving regularly, that we do. Personally, proportionally, and responsibly. And then the other he stepped into talking about was the stewardship of opportunities. And that's what he was talking about here, was the opportunity that he was trying to establish, because he was in Ephesus writing to the people in Corinth. And the idea that he was hoping to visit them, and that's what he was trying to tell them. And he was also trying to establish that, listen, don't be afraid of opportunities and to look for open doors. And so as what we, the first couple of verses here talks about, that, you know, I want to pass through Macedonia, and that he wants to winter with them. And you might have to change his ideas in them. And he's also telling him, don't be afraid to take opportunities. That's what he's looking at. You know, and the question that comes up is, you know, he left it in the Lord's hand, if the Lord permit. So how many of us here have ever had an opportunity to do something for the Lord? We just like, I don't think I'm ready to do that yet. Any of us step through there? I know I did when I was getting ready to retire from the service. My wife and I had an opportunity to work with the military ministry through Tabernacle Baptist Church. It was a, you know, huge church, had a big outreach to the military, and Pastor Bell was asking us if we would like to take over that ministry, you know, and go to school, get a degree through them, and because, you know, I was senior enlisted, and we had contacts, and I didn't have to hesitate about it. I told him, I says, I would love to do that, but I says, we have unsaved family members on the West Coast. And he just looked, he says, then do go take care of those family members. And we did. We have seen those come to the Lord since we've been here. He had no problems with that. It's like, well, how dare you? You know, he didn't have that attitude. And that's what the Apostle Paul, some of the people actually thought the Apostle Paul was lying to him or deceitful in his activities. Well, I'm going to come visit you. Well, I don't know if I can get there yet, but, you know, I got these plans. Paul had to change his plans several times based on circumstances. And that's what he was trying to establish with those that were in Corinth. And some were worried about it. Some thought that, well, you know, I'd better not work with these people. But he tries to set up with this what's called the open doors. And what opportunities for service do we have here that we think? And, you know, I got a few listed here. I hope they'll come up right. But, you know, what opportunities do we have here at church that we would classify as opportunities to share the gospel? Anybody? Maybe one of those. Sunday school classes. Yeah. Yeah, regular services, Sunday school, when we're here. Any others when they're coming through? Austin? Door knocking in the community. And, you know, we got through our missions, visitors, neighborhood, door knocking as we go through there. Others, you know, and these are just some that I know it's not an exhaustive list. We've got family members. Some family members might go to church elsewhere. Some family members don't go to church at all. And some, you know, a prime opportunity for that. Some of our acquaintances, you know, how many of us have invited folks that we work with or friends that we know of? And so, you know, Paul was understanding these and realized that it was one of the of God's great, you might as well call it a treasure that he gave us. Opportunities to share or to invite. You know, how many times, though, when we've invited somebody, we've had the disappointment of them not coming? A lot of times that happens. But you know, it shouldn't deter us from not wanting to tell them. You know, there's some people who say, oh, I'm not going to tell them. They're just going to say no. No, I've known people that have gone to doors night or week after week, time after time, and finally the person says, yeah, I'm going to go. It's cool. Just a minute. Did you say you're going to go? Say, well, yeah. Or would you tell me again how to get saved? Because I think I understand it now. Some people might be at that point that their heart's just not ready for it. But those are opportunities, and Paul's trying to tell them that he's to take those opportunities regardless. You know, and not be afraid. 2 Corinthians 2:12 says, furthermore, when I come to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. And in Colossians, it says, wherewithal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in his bounds. It's Colossians 4:3. So he knew that it was ideal for us to take those opportunities. And there's times when, you know, we need to stop and think, okay, is this the right place to be talking to somebody about it? You know, in the grocery line with a bunch of groceries, and you look back and there's, you know, a half a dozen people in line. That's probably not the time to try to witness to the cashier, you know. Give them a tract, say, you know, have a nice day and go on your way. That goes a long ways. But there's other times, you know, we were street preaching, witnessing down in Stockton, California. My wife got upset because downtown Stockton was not where you wanted to be after dark. But I figured there was a guy that was bigger than Charlie and probably weighed in at 300 pounds walking with us. I don't think it was too much. He was a big teddy bear. But there's times to witness, and we didn't realize that there was a police sting going on. And we were handing out tracts, and these people were really trying to be as nice as possible, but their eyes were shifting around, and then we realized, you know, kind of quietly, he goes, hey, policeman, aren't you? And he goes, yeah. Okay, thank you. Would you take a tract? Yeah, we'll go on. And we just moved on up the street. There's times when you just give them a tract and move on, because they were trying to catch people doing inappropriate things, which was happening in downtown Stockton on a regular basis. But that night, the gospel went out. But there are times when we just need to listen to the Lord carefully. He kind of taps on our shoulder and goes, no, don't talk to those people. You know, it's like trying to stand outside of a tavern and hand out tracts. You know, you might get a few of them to take some, but most of them aren't going to comprehend. But Paul was trying to point out, though, there's an opportunity. Because he says in Romans 4:12, you know, we shall give an account to God for what we've done. In Luke, he says, but 12:48, he says, but he that knew not and did not commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten a few stripes. For whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. To whom men have committed, of them they shall ask the more. So those of us that know Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's incumbent upon us to share that, not to hide it. So that's the expectation that the Apostle Paul is trying to point out. And, you know, it's like we were talking about, you know, is our neighborhood, classrooms, showing kindness to somebody. You know, some of our visitors, we get to know them, and they get to know everybody the first time around. You know, and it's exciting. Not that we have so few that we have to gang up on them, but we want to talk with people. We want to know who they are, what they're about. And to some people, it might, you know, I haven't seen them run out the door yet, but you know, but it's exciting when visitors come, when we get a chance to talk with them. The other is sick people that are around. Brother Ron up at OHSU, you know, not a lot of us can go up there and see him, but we can send him a card, or we can, you know, pay a visit to them when they were here, paying a visit, or we know those that are shut in. You know, I think with Anna, and she didn't get a whole lot of fellowship in the week, but you know, but she does get emails from a lot of the ladies encouraging her with her mom, and we can't believe, but a question comes up, how do we know that an opportunity is given by God? Anybody got a thought on that one? How do we know it's an opportunity given by God? Charles?
Somehow
to glorify him. And the thing is the opportunity, when you see that going, well, should I or shouldn't I, you kind of weigh that opportunity with, all right, is there anything in Scripture that's kind of nagging at me to say, yeah, it's probably not a good idea? Going back to, you know, standing in that line, you know, with a whole bunch of people behind there, and next thing you know, you're trying to give that person the Romans Road. It's probably not a good opportunity. Or the bank teller, you know.
Yes.
You hand them a note, and next thing you know, there's a... No, not really. Would you, you know, if you were to die today, it's probably not what you want to be telling a teller. But it's always nice. Fortunately, we go to the same branch most of the time, so we usually know most of the tellers, and it's nice to give them a tract, you know, to talk, those that you know that aren't saved. Fortunately, a couple of tellers that we deal with, we know that they're saved, and it's exciting. But yeah, it's probably not a good idea in a bank to do that. But the opportunities that we have, and when you think on those, that looking through there, not only was there opportunities, but what they call ready to capitalize, or how do we capitalize on those? And these are several, you know, you look at a common goal, and there's cooperation amongst that. The true concern for the lost and developing and using the spiritual gifts by all. And the Apostle Paul was trying to tell them to think about things like that, where have a goal. When we go out knocking on doors, what's the goal? Oh, I'm going to invite them to church. No, invite them to church. Giving the gospel out is the real goal. But in the process of it, you know, we want to invite them out. If they don't go to a church, that's always one of the questions that's asked, you know, that do they attend a church? And if they did attend a church, was there a time in their life that they came to a realization that they needed to be saved, or that they were to stand before God? Why should he let you in? You know, questions that kind of like that. A common goal in visitation. You know, when we hand out a tract, what's the goal there for us? We want to see that if they're not saved, and I've given tracts, somebody goes, the person say, hey, I know what Christ is, my personal Lord and Savior. And I've had one of them say, can I give this to somebody else? And I said, well, it's yours now. You can do with it as you want. But yeah, you know, and it's like, pass it on. Because some people who are saved don't go out on visitation or never thought about going on visitation are impressed that people do that. And then when you do share share a tract with them, they get the idea, hey, that's what I should be doing. And next thing you know, they might be out and about doing that. And might have started a trend. You never know. And then when you think about that, there's cooperation when we go out there. The worst thing you want to do is, you know, two people standing at a door knocking, and then you two bicker over, you know, a bit of scripture. You know, that'd be kind of interesting. And I'm sure the poor person there going, oh, I don't know if I want to go to that church or not. You know, but it's always nice though to go out there and. When two are out there, one's praying for the other person presenting it. And that's exciting because you see the Lord's work in there, because, you know, it's truly a concern for the lost. There's some people that get saved and that's all they care about. I'm saved and that's it. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about here. There are folks there that were saved that could care less about passing it on. Well, they're going to be held accountable for that. But there needs to be a burden for the lost. You know, and sometimes it wanes. And then, of course, developing and using the gifts that we're given. And that's what I'm so thankful for here, is that our gifts are truly well distributed here. We have such a variety of them. And, that you know, you can come up with a list as long as you want, and it's a gift that we do when we do it, knowing that the Lord is to be glorified in what we do. Just like Brother Charles said, is it going to glorify the Lord? You know, and for instance, you know, people ask, well, what more could we do? Yeah, we could have a radio station here, although a couple weeks ago we did have a radio station. Only we were receiving it, we weren't transmitting it. It's amazing what, you know, one little wire can do, make all these wires an antenna. But for instance, our website, we've had people come visit us because of that website. Those are tools. You know, we can think, pastor could be, every day blogging on the website, and that would be good, but he drives a school bus, and maybe we need somebody that knows how to blog. I don't know if that's a tool or not. Some people, that's their excitement to do that. Some people are really, really good at it. Others are, they're okay. But we should take advantage of all the tools we have. In this electronic industry, the electronic age, it's amazing what tools are out there that we have available of ourselves. We think of Facebook when we share that with them. I get a kick out of Lynn. She's always got a little verse of scripture. There's ones that come through here that I run across the King James with a little picture on it. I find those and share them. Little things like that. And some of them seem very applicable. But there's others out there, throwing all this other stuff. But this industry, it's amazing how we can take those opportunities. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell them, is, for that door of opportunity, and it's open for each and every one of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank